call a meeting order. What I'd like to do is we have an attendance. We have everyone's here except for Lynn Eckerd called and said that she will be absent tonight. Myself, IDAs, Julius Collins, James Plum, Mary Warwin, Brian Walton. Great. And we have two sets of minutes we need to approve, the March 12th. I entertain a motion to accept the minutes for March 12th.
So moved.
So moved by Walton and Collins. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right, I'd like to entertain a motion to approve the minutes for March 20th meeting. All right, moved by Mauro, second by Long. All those in favor?
Aye.
Very good. All right, what we're going to do is I'm going to let the college go first. They're just going to give us some things because you're going to spend a little time. And we're some of the newer people, and even, you know, people have been here. Sometimes we don't always know all the little things that you do at points. Alrighty, so any updates you want to give us?
Well, we finished our budget, which has been a 6-month process. The nice thing about our budget, we're going to come in with, for the first time in a number of years, with no increase in tuition. That's always a plus. We are the only community college in the region that isn't having an increase. Dutchess is going up $200 per year. Orange is going up $186. Sullivan's going up almost $200. So I'm feeling really good that, you know, we had a good year. We were able to take some of that surplus and pick up some things that we really needed. So we'll be bringing that to the legislature in June. We're bringing it to our board next week for their approval. Then we'll move to the legislature and then finally to the county executive and then to SUNY system. As you may know, our basketball team was for the first time in history, but I've heard maybe years and years ago they might have gone to nationals, but we're real proud that they are. And they're going to be recognized by the legislature next week, so we're really excited about that.
Yeah, but I think it was 45 years ago.
45 years.
So yep,
we're proud of those
45 years ago.
And I think you're
the legislature.
I know that. Well, I knew it. I remember listening to the games on radio. You know, back then, I would listen to them on the radio sometimes, and there was one guy's name was Jumpin' Joe Yule, and I just remember his name because it was like they'd be, you know, calling out the game. So it was 45 years ago.
45 years. Sorry, 45 years we're going to get.
I was like 5 years old, I think it was. Alrighty.
That's what we have.
And then you were, I was telling you, you didn't need to come if you didn't want to. Would you want to pop by and see us anyway?
So. Absolutely.
Alrighty, and the your FTEs are looking good?
FTE is looking good. You know, we came in 61 over for the fall, came in about 10 for the spring, and now we're looking at the summer.
What do you think attributes to that?
That's what all my colleagues want to know around the state. You know, we did so many little things. You know, we revamped the website. We did the bus wraps. We started the BSN program. We started the adult edge. We're at the prisons. You know, it just adds up. You get a little bit everywhere. You know, we worked on retention. So got to keep plugging away at those same areas.
You know, because that's great. Because that's the only way you're going to keep your budget intact with those students. All right, great. Any questions? Anybody from even the legislators, the audience, what have you? No. All right. Well,
okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, I'd like to get the one resolution that we have out of the way. It's Resolution 123, confirm an appointment to membership to the Ulster County Youth Board. I'd entertain a motion to accept that.
Make a motion.
All right. We're going to all. I'm already. All those in favor?
Aye.
Right, so they ought to get the resolution. Thank you. whenever you're ready.
Hi, everyone. I'm here. I introduced myself to some people before. Good to see you again. Coming here. I understand you've done this before. Really happy to see you guys here. We wanted to make it a little interesting, hence the live animals. We have a 3D printer churning away some things I'll tell you about. With your permission, Chairman, I'd like to just show four slides. And then I've invited some of our program leaders who are here sitting around with us to answer any other questions you have about our programs. But just four pictures, talk about our four different programs, give you just a little bit of detail in terms of what the programs are and their impact to Davis. We have chicks in the office these days because it's called springtime, so a lot of hatching going on. So the chicks have been around, but there's two baby goats that were visiting.
Let's not make them scapegoats, though.
So I believe everyone is fairly familiar with extension. We have four main programs. Agriculture. This is, of course, what extension started with. This is one of our flagship programs. We do a lot with field crops, vegetables. These days, a lot with livestock, and some of the newer programs with small farmers, beginning farmers, a lot of folks moving from different parts of the, maybe the city, coming up to look at starting small farms and part of the local foods movement. Master Gardeners, part of our ag program, and train hundreds of people every year in some of these things. We have a lot of classes, a lot of resources. A responsive program, when we have pest outbreaks and things, we have some of the best people in the state looking at what the pests are and how we can address it, how we work on integrated pest management. So we're helping the large established farmers, the folks that have been here for generations, and folks who have just, somebody came through the door today and said, I bought some land, I want to see what I can farm on it. For 4-H and youth development, this has been with Extension since the beginning. A lot of the club programs, I know a lot of people are 4-H'ers. I was a former 4-H'er in a horse club. But it's also evolving. We do things like vet science and public speaking. In fact, just SUNY Ulster just hosted us. We had public speaking presentations, and kids from age 6 to 18 presented. And we're evaluated on their public speaking. Teaches a really, really good soft skill that they don't really get in a lot of other places. So they're really, really impressed. I was one of the evaluators, and I love that program. We also do a lot of STEM mentoring with the Tech Wizards program. We have a 3D printer over here running away, making little 4-H clovers for you guys. This is one of the things, part of the STEM, the Tech Wizards program, really to youth who don't get exposed to these things and don't get a chance to see things like drones and 3D printers, get people engaged in STEM possibilities early in their education. Like Julius, you were talking about mechanical engineering, but it was 11th grade before you got on that
right here.
So we're trying to catch them early. The environment program, the main part of this program is the Ashokan Stream Management Program, part of the New York City watershed. The program also does a lot with flood mitigation, climate education. We run a lot of stakeholder groups, thousands of participants annually. We also fund a lot of projects through sub-grants. Last year, I believe there was 84 projects.
That's over the years.
For the last 4 years.
About 25 right now.
For the year?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And those are education, infrastructure, all sorts of projects get funded out of that. Municipalities apply, schools apply, other nonprofits apply. And then our Healthy Communities program, which talks about healthy eating, healthy activities, and how we can improve resilience in our communities itself. We have the nutrition programs, here kids learning about healthy foods. You guys are part of our programs here. This is our healthy meetings policy, which we're getting here, some of the healthy foods we're using. And now getting into climate resilience, climate adaptive design work that's going on. This is sort of the newest phase of that. Reaches several hundred kids and adults per year, and some of the work has spun off into a city commission with the healthy, was it the?
The city of Kingston, that was the Luke Walt Kingston Commission, so now that's under the auspices of the city, so it's appropriate.
So that's it. We have four programs, and our program leads are here today. If you have any questions for them, that's all I was going to present. There's also some materials up here on the different programs if you're interested in anything. I just wanted to thank you all for the appropriation. It means a lot. It's our core funding, and let us know anything we can do to improve our impact in Ulster County, and we're interested to hear more from you guys.
Who's going for you? Are we going to, the other one's going to present?
No. Oh. Unless you have specific questions about any of the programs, should we introduce everybody?
I'm Leslie Zucker. I'm the Environment Issues Leader.
And I'm Milford. I'm the 4-H educator again.
Now, when you do the 4-H, what do you mean by 4-H educator?
Well, so the traditional view of 4-H is, you know, when I meet people on the street, they say, oh, it's for kids living on farms, right? But it's much more than that. So I run a STEM and mentoring program at Miller Middle School in Ellenville. There are middle school and high school kids as well. But there's kids involved in the club program where they meet, you know, maybe once or twice a month. Some kids raise goats and other kids build robots. So it's we are all about positive youth development and growing kids up into useful members of society.
And you're the environment?
Environment Issues Leader. So what at CTE Ulster, we have a strong watershed and stream management program. So we've been lucky to partner with New York City up in the New York City watershed, and we're looking to take the lessons and models that we've developed there and try to help all of Ulster County benefit in the future.
Yeah. Chris, you're the agricultural program leader. We work adapting our programs to the needs of people in the county, large scale or small scale. And we find what we get a lot of lately and what we're seeing is a very small scale acreage of people purchasing second homes or leaving the city, purchasing a home here and pursuing that dream of, I've got a couple of acres and now what do I do?
Now, have you done anything with, I guess planting like in a inner like city or, you know, like, and even Allendale, for that matter, in the village?
We have some urban agriculture. We've had classes and attendees on it. But as far as for people production here, outside of just like a home garden, we don't see a lot up this way yet. But it's coming because it's in southern Dutchess County, starting to come into the Poughkeepsie area. And then we see it in like Beacon and Orange County. And we have one person here in Kingston that does do it, but they operate under the WISE umbrella. And it's not really for profit, but they do reach out for some help sometimes. And we've even tried to partner on a grant with them and everything. But that's really what we're seeing up here right now in the Kingston area. I'd say probably another year or 2 years, and we'll see it has reached up this far, and then up into Saugerties with people actually doing large-scale production of urban agriculture, whether it's taking abandoned lots or abandoned buildings and burning it over, or even just doing that out of the house, but large enough to consider it production opposed to just home gardening.
I'm Melinda Herzog, and I'm the Healthy Communities Program Leader. We have a question for Kristen.
Just the soil pH testing, is that something that you need?
Yes, so with urban agriculture, especially in reclaimed industrial areas, soil testing is something that they definitely want to do because you run the risk of heavy metals being in that soil, and it's an easy fix. But even for people that are purchasing property in what would consider agricultural land, you could still want to do pH.
So for folks who want to avail themselves of that, is there like on the website some sort of procedure for how to collect the samples and bring them in?
Oh, yeah, we have that link. You can call us, we can help it. We can send it out to the lab if you so choose to use our service for that. Yeah, it's on there, and you can always just call and give you the directions. It's just a little time, but...
What is the charge for that?
We run it through Rutgers, so it depends on what level. If you just want your macronutrients done, it's going to run you $25 to $30. If you want your micronutrients done, then it's going to depend on what all ones you want run, and then it's a sliding price scale on that level.
So a basic one would be about $25, $30.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know who could answer this, but I'm so impressed to see that you did training for beginning farmers, 365 training sessions. It's incredible. So what kind of form did that take?
So we did a couple standalone classes, including a one-day workshop, like in the field. We started here, and then we visited an organic dairy farm down in the New Paltz area, and then moved up to the incubator farm in Glenwood, and then finished out at Arrowwood Brewery in the Akron area. That it was simply sort of just like, here's the steps with, you got some new land and you want to get into farming, what you need to know and what you're looking for. And then from the standalone class, we also did a series. It was a three-week program series, 1 week, and we featured just new landowner, like you just bought it, let's get started. And then we had a day with just vegetable production, and then a day with livestock production, sort of trying to arm those people with, they have their idea, but where do I go from here? So we were either trying to give them an idea or help them move them to the next step with the idea they already have.
That's great.
Thanks. How did you get robotics?
How did we get robotics?
I always thought of that as raising prize bulls and riding horses.
That is the classic view. But we want to reach kids with whatever they're interested in. So if enough kids come together and they want to start a robotics club and they find a volunteer who's willing to lead that club. There's a lot of resources that we get through Cornell. So right now there's, I don't know how many robotics kits there are, but I have 4 of them on loan from Cornell that I can take to middle schools, or I can loan to kids in the county. There's vast resources. Every time I make a trip to Ithaca, I learn that there's more available to us that we can bring home and then use the youth in our county.
Robotics is used in farming. A lot of the machinery now is automated, balers and whatnot, crop machines.
And they have robotic milkers I was telling the kids about.
Mm-hmm. I've been so far away for so many years.
Yes.
No, nothing.
Oh, Dante did it again. So I'm Melinda Herzog, and I am the program leader for Healthy Communities. That we do nutrition, parenting, and health and community development programs. We've done through series with the Healthy Community Development Program, but that's really when we work with policy, system, and environmental changes. We have health coalitions that we coordinate, including the Healthy Ulster Council. We work in tandem in a partnership with the Department of Health to coordinate the Healthy Ulster Council. And we do what, like I said, what's called a policy systems and environmental changes with a lot of our programs, so that we get in and actually work on changing policies, or things like the Smarter Lunchroom program, where you're changing the environment in a school, in a lunchroom, that makes it easier or more likely that a child will choose a healthier lunch item. So those are some of the kinds of things that we do. So if you have any questions, please let me know. And
now the grants that you get usually come from where?
So we have a variety of grants. We currently have grants from the Office OTDA, which is the Office of Disability and Temporary Assistance, that funds our eSmart New York program, and then we have FNEP, which is funded through Cornell but through the Farm Bill. And then we also have funding from OPFS, the Office of, this is all New York State, the Office of Children and Family Services for our RAP program, our Relatives as Parents program. They are also funded through the Dyson Foundation and United Way. And then we have some other funding for our Climate Adaptive Design program that we just got involved with Cornell through their Water Resources Institute and the DEC. And I'm trying to think of all of our packages, but we're basically fully grant-funded in our program. So it's just kind of a whole plethora of things. But it tends to be state grants, but sometimes also local foundations and things.
Any questions?
Hello. Thank you for starting to introduce me like that. It's such a pleasure that you're all here with us. My name is Maria Cecilia DeFerrari, and any combination of those names. I work with Relatives as Parents program. I do outreach and education. I'm out in the community meeting individuals and meeting other agencies and just letting people know what we do, which is support families raising kids when the parents are unavailable to parent. And we also currently are offering the Sober Parenting Journey, which is a parenting education course for the parents, not the relative caregivers, who have been sober for at least 30 days. So we're very proud of that.
Now, most of the relatives are grandparents. Is that what it is?
I would say 90% of the caregivers are grandparents. And RAP, Relatives as Parents program, has been in existence locally around 9 years. And the children have grown up in the program, so as a result of that, we have a teen group now, which most of our programming is intergenerational with the grandparents and the children, or the other caregiver and the children. It's not only grandparents, but 9 times out of 10 it is. This mural is the mural in the making on the wall over there, which will be a very large portable mural, is part of that teen program. And so we have a community garden over by Family Court, if you've ever seen that raised bed. So we have lots of fun. I think that's basically to promote bonding within the families and help with the stress levels in these very stressed families, you know, from the situations that they're all coming from, which we all know about. So
what is a typical thing that you do with the grandparents?
A typical thing we'll do with the grandparents is we'll meet monthly here. We have a family-style meal. And our youth educator, who's a trained teacher, has an activity with the children. And the grandparents, we're very responsive to whatever they may be asking us for. Our mission is to provide support. And so we can be flexible. So if they want a presentation about local mental health care providers. We've brought in people to speak with the grandparents about that. For example, we just had our support group 2 weeks ago, our monthly meeting, and planted the seedlings for the community garden, and that was intergenerational. We had an aromatherapist come in, and that was really fun. You could see people's faces changing afterwards, after just taking a moment to breathe and to, you know, to promote that fun. So we went canoeing on the Hudson. Grandparents were there with us.
we do a lot of things. I believe Melinda has out there on the table our newsletter, which has tons of information. We've baked pies for fundraisers. We go to Cornell University. We also have a collaboration with a 4-H club. So they get to go to Career Explorations, which is a 4-H program to go visit the college, and some of these kids, you know, it's inspiration to stay in school, to do well in school, to see that, oh, the world is a larger place than I thought it was. Maybe an education is a good idea. So we do a lot. It's good stuff.
How many do you have in the program now?
We have active, so families are not obligated to come to every single meeting. I would say we have a core group of 20 families who come and participate really actively. And then on our mailing list, we have, I think, about
20 to 30 families throughout the year, and then there's about 80 people that we're either serving through telephones doing referrals, or they're receiving the newsletter and getting information about the program and information about parenting. Because when you're a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle raising a child you weren't expecting to raise, there's a lot to learn all over again. Or you may never have learned it before.
Right, and there's issues that you're not used to dealing with also. And, you know, you're raising your own kids, and when you're raising somebody else's, you know, it's issues that you're going to deal with that you didn't deal with most likely with your own kids. Oh, I can imagine.
The energy.
Oh, yeah. The energy is a huge factor, I think. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, there's a lot of time spent on health and wellness with the grandparents and the kinship caregivers, just because it does take a lot of energy, and you have to take care of yourself first. It's just like being on the plane when you got to wear the oxygen mask for yourself first. You need to take care of your own self and be sure that you're healthy enough to take care of your child, your grandchild.
The Sober Parenting Program, is that something in conjunction with Family Court? And I'd be interested in hearing a little bit about that.
So Family Court and DSS are referring clients to the Sober Parenting Journey. They just began the first course that they're doing. It's 14 weeks long. It's an evidence-based program. And they have a maximum of 10 adults that are allowed in the program, and it fills right up. Mm-hmm. So they're planning on offering it again in the fall, and you know they're 4 weeks into it, and so far it's been very successful.
Is this something that Family Court would use as a requirement for issues that were occurring in the home?
Yes, it's actually a mandated program through Family Court, and DSS has a program with theirs is Celebrating Families, and theirs is also for the children. Ours is just for the adults, so we're kind of filling a niche because sometimes they have adults that don't have children to bring with them because their children isn't in their custody, so we're basically servicing those parents. And we're also at a different time than the DSS program, so if they can't get to that program, they can get to ours. So we're just kind of opening up that.
But you're at a max with 10.
It's filled right up. So
there's a need.
Clearly, yeah. It can also be voluntary.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be mandated, but if someone wanted to participate. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anybody have any questions? No? Statements?
Great job.
Something for the
thank you.
That's thank everybody for filling us in, and please know, and the rest of the members, feel free to call Cornell Cooperative. They are very cooperative, shall we say. They get back with you right away, and they really do work to help us in the county out, and it's actually one of the best economic development programs in the county. Be surprised, because for all these grants that you get, the grants are putting people to work, doing very good things. All righty, I entertain a motion to adjourn unless somebody wants to. Anything else?
I make a motion.
And seconded, all those in favor? All right. Thank you.